listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I couldn't be more pleased to say we're joined by Congressman Steve Russell. He is the representative of the people of the 5th District of Oklahoma. He has a very storied history as a member of the United States military, as a lieutenant colonel, with, among other accomplishments in his combat tours, being instrumental to the capture of Saddam Hussein. He is the author of a memoir on the subject entitled, We Got Him, a memoir of the hunt and capture of Saddam Hussein. Congressman Russell is these days a member of the House Armed Services Committee and the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform, on whose National Security Subcommittee he serves as the vice chairman. Congressman Russell, it's so good to have you back. Thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's always my pleasure.
Well, let me ask you a question sort of an overarching character. You serve on the Readiness Subcommittee in the House Armed Services Committee. Our colleagues at the Heritage Foundation have just completed a new book. They call it the 2018 Index of Military Strength. It's a very comprehensive assessment of where we are. And one of the findings, I guess you'd call it, is that, quote, in the aggregate, the United States military posture is rated marginal and is trending towards weak, unquote. Congressman, I just wonder, does that square with, you know, what you've been seeing both in uniform, I guess, as well as in your time in the Congress? And if so, is it acceptable?
It is a grave concern right now, and I think you've seen Secretary Mattis make numerous public comments in terms of readiness and posture and the damage that's being done by sequester. These are all real issues, and it's not just political speak. The sad thing is that we saw this past summer just in training, 40-plus members of the military lose their lives to training accidents, planes going down.
Yeah, and I think the Navy has found that in the case of these two most recent accidents at sea, that training, readiness, exhaustion all contributed to the loss of life. In terms, just a general statement, if the readiness of the United States military is not where it needs to be today, are we taking steps, as you see it, to remedy the situation?
What I would hope is that the same Heritage Foundation would put out statements that would help us separate the defense hawks from the budget hawks, because all too often what happens politically is that the budget hawks do not have these things held dear to their heart in appreciation. And I've often made the statements, Frank, we could cut everything to include the entire defense budget and still not to get there. But one thing that we absolutely have a constitutional requirement to do is defend the country. And our priorities are out of whack when it comes to that. We are continuing to cut. And I was able to work with former Representative Chris Gibson on the Posture Act, and we were instrumental in keeping 30,000 more U.S. Army troops and 8,000 Marines from being cut from the force. But they also have to be equipped. They have to be able to train. They have to be able to deploy. And so what I would hope is that we would value the defense of our nation more than free cell phones, more than, you know, free chicken or whatever it might be out there.
Well, I appreciate your leadership on this so much, Congressman Russell, because I think you're absolutely right. I'm sensing, for what it's worth, that there is now a recognition across the spectrum of conservatives, at least, that we've gotten to a point where the budget caps on defense are simply intolerable. Let me switch gears, if I may, Congressman. A related subject I know on which you have been speaking is the role that the Green Beret have been playing in Niger has come into considerable public focus as a result of the loss of four of our personnel in that country in an ambush by jihadists. And I wonder, should we be concerned about some kind of untoward expansion of our military operations? Or is this really the sort of thing that we need to be doing at least as much of, if not more of?
Well, I think what most Americans don't realize is since the creation of the special forces by President Kennedy in the early 60s, these training and assist missions have been at the core of what they've always done. We have had troops serving in Niger for two decades plus. What's vitally important is that we look at what's at stake in these sub-Saharan African countries that are in the middle of the continent. If we lose this firewall of largely stable, peaceful countries where you've got transnational terrorists and criminal elements that are trying to ignite old political rivalries and destabilize these countries, if that breaks past the firewall, we've got incredible problems. We're talking disease. We're talking famines because of fragile economies that can no longer sustain their own populations.
To say nothing of the Sharia supremacists filling the vacuum.
Well, that's it. And that's what they want to do. You've got great folks like Third Group of the Special Forces, which sadly, they were the ones that took the casualties, and our hearts go out to Third Group. I had the privilege to work with them in Afghanistan. And, you know, we have to realize that these commitments are things that our warriors in uniform are doing day in and day out, and America is just really not even aware of it. But I have to say, in this case, well, that's right. And with the case of what's going on in Niger and Cameroon, Chad, the whole Lake Chad Basin, thank God for the cooperation that that we see with, you know, some of our longstanding allies. If it weren't for the actions of the French, the Brits, and our own special forces and military, this thing would be completely out of control.
Hey, Congressman, very quickly, just because you've got both the responsibilities in the readiness business, you've got this extraordinary background, and you also serve on the Personnel Subcommittee of the House Armed Services Committee, I did want to ask you about the advisability of what this judge has just done to stop President Trump from preventing transgender individuals from serving in the United States military.
I think that this continues to be politically motivated. My contention on these issues from the beginning and the statements that I've made in the past is that we've not had a single hearing to determine how the readiness of our military is enhanced, that you have folks that are wanting these therapies and surgeries or categorized as dysphoric or whatever it might be. They're not qualified for deployment. They're not qualified to help or enhance the units. Or are they? We don't know because we've not had a single hearing on this issue. Instead, the decisions have been made in a purely political fashion. And so I think what you saw was that President Trump was trying to address this issue and put out the statements that he did. And I also find it interesting that this judge did not object to the president's actions with regard to the medical or the surgeries or any of those things. Those were not contested. And so once again, we have convoluted, politically motivated policy rather than looking for what is best for the readiness of our military.
And some of that's out of judges, no less. It's not.
And the other point that I would make, you know, with regard to this issue is that it's also very, very disruptive. I just read from the guidance and the handbook for the United States Army that was being put out to commanders in hearings last spring when we were doing the National Defense Authorization, where they were trying to instruct commanders in how to deal with male pregnancies. I mean, these things were just so bizarre that you're thinking, okay, do we want our commanders dealing with these things, or do we want our commanders to deal with the defense of the republic?
Your leadership is critically important, Congressman Stephen Russell, and I look forward to working with you on the outside to try to help create the demand for hearings like these and real oversight by the Congress in all of these areas and more. I hope you come back to us again, sir. It's great to talk with you as always, and we look forward to doing so in the near future. Christian Adams joins us. We'll talk about the diversity lottery and voter fraud, among other things, straight ahead.